So we'll have a bit of reading in the beginning, and then we're going to look at some lessons in regards to deceitfulness. Of course, deceitfulness, it may come in various ways. And here we have the scriptures from Matthew 24:4, when the apostles are asking our Lord, what will be the times and the signs of his coming and the establishment of the kingdom, basically. And he gives them a command. The first answer, we read Matthew 24:4, Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. And it goes into the explanation and the great prophecy in Matthew 24 in regards to his coming and pretty much the very detailed summary of the gospel age and the ones that and the signs that will come with his coming. We will not look mostly at that aspect of deceitfulness. Here you have some explanation of where the word deceives comes in this instance. There are a few words translated deceived in English language. They come from different Greek words, and you're going to see some of the difference. And we're not going to read through all of them, as you can see them on the screen. So our Lord Jesus commands them and answers them with these first words. And it's extremely important when our Lord speaks to look at all his words. But the way he presents his answers always, of course, they are pure divine wisdom. And I think that's a command that's for all his children in all categories of life, to watch out that no one deceives us. When the first deception started? Let's look at another scripture. Let's see how I move forward. This is supposed to work. No, I cannot move forward. Space doesn't work because it's put on.
Just use your finger. That's the only way that works.
There we go. Went a little bit too fast. Let's look at the blessings that we have in Christ, because I think that when Jesus answers that, he's talking to his disciples, his apostles and disciples. So we will bear with me. We will read the blessings that Apostle Paul speaks in regards to the ones that are come under the blood of redemption. And this is a blessing that we have from the Heavenly Father, Ephesians 1:1-14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us to adoption as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, with which he favored us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our wrongdoings, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. In all wisdom and insight he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he set forth in him regarding his plan of the fullness of the times, to bring all things together in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. In him we also have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things in accordance with the plan of his will, to the end that we, who were the first of the truth, the gospel of our salvation, having also believed, the first to the hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. I'm sorry. In him we also have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things in accordance with the plan of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ, I amuse with the translation, the first fruits in Christ, would be to the praise of his glory. In him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of the promise, who is a first installment of our inheritance, in regard to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. So the bringing into Christ through the redemption work and through the blood of Jesus, it is for God's glory. And the proof of that is the sealing with the Spirit of the promise, having the Holy Spirit. Therefore, the message of the Bible, even though it's a beautiful message, it does refer to the children of God at the present time. It does refer as a principle to the entire mankind, and everyone can learn. But having these blessings in Christ and having this wonderful beginning in our walk with Christ, there are dangers and many dangers, because there is an adversary that tries to deceive us in order to make sure that we are not God's children and we are staying away from God. And he continues in Ephesians 1:15-17, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So I'm underlining here again the fact that we have to have that spirit of revelation. Whenever we open God's book, whenever we are in a Bible study, we should come and try to learn what is the Lord trying to teach me every day. Apostle Paul, and I put this, and we read this in Ephesus, the words from Ephesians. So we see the connection that the brother and Apostle Paul had with all his churches. They were very dear to them. They were very dear to them. And in Corinthians, we read this. 2 Corinthians 11, 2 and 3. For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I betrothed you to one husband, to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. So these are the consecrated brethren. And then he really gives them a big warning. But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his trickery, your minds will be led astray from sincere and pure devotion to Christ. And again, these words and this that we will share with you came to me looking retrospectively or backwards and seeing how many dangers and pitfalls are along the way, and recognizing that many times we are being deceived even without realizing. Here the word deceived comes from a different Greek word, and it really means wholly out or from, intensifying, properly, truly deceived, or hoodwinked, describing someone taken in and enslaved by Satan, sin, darkness, or his agencies, and emphasizes the end impact of deception, missing true reality because biting on the bait that brings the hook. So it's a very powerful word when we are thinking that Eve, and we see the result of that deception, it's death. And we see, and we think that it was not a sudden instant. It was not something impulsive that she just saw the apple first day and ate it right away. So it's not like some, I think in the United States, there's that expression, instant buyer or something. We think that it was something that Satan really worked on through many different aspects, possibly. So if Eve, as a perfect woman, was deceived by the great adversary, what will keep us from not being deceived? In Revelation 12:9, so the Bible starts with this great deception. And we are familiar with this. We'll go a little bit faster. let me put my watch, because And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Brethren, the word of God says that Satan deceives the whole world. Now, many people think there are many good people in the world. Many people think they are not deceived, maybe billions. But the word of God tells us that Satan, who deceives the whole world. I don't think we are exception. We are in the world. The only safe place is if we are in Christ and our human flesh. And I think all of us can testify, and I'm the first, that I have been deceived. Self-deception and deceived by others. And what deception leaves, if somebody tricks you, and I will never forget, my father went one time to the U.S. embassy and he was trying to change some money before entering into the embassy. And there was one certain person and tricked him with some money. He tried to buy some U.S. dollars. And if you don't really know the dollars, they all look the same. And he was deceived by that. And he felt bad for many, many, it was $100 that he thought he got. And actually, he got only $10. And it was so fast, and they were yelling, police is coming. It was illegal to change money and all that stuff. But the feeling that he had for weeks and weeks and weeks, and that's in a small thing, material things. Emotionally, spiritually, we all know when you are being deceived in a small or greater matter, it's a feeling that's almost everything is lost. And by the God's grace, we have the blood of redemption and the blood of forgiveness that can help us to overcome this. But we have to be aware, and we have to be really aware in our minds that Satan is the one who deceives the whole world. And don't we see in the last years how much more he does that? So let's not think that we, through our strength, we are safe from his deceitfulness. And even furthermore, in Revelation 22 and 3, we read that our Lord, when he returns, he, and I'm going to paraphrase this, he will bind, he will bind Satan for 1,000 years, so he would not deceive the nations any longer. It's one thing to restrain Satan's activities, and one of the things we can do that is by keeping as holy as possible, keeping us close to the world, to the Lord, and speak the truth and not a lie, and then we will restrain his activities in our lives or in our gatherings or in our fellowship. It's another thing that it says here that our Lord, he will bind Satan as a being, and we believe that that will happen for 1,000 years for the purpose that he will not deceive the nations any longer. What happens after that, and we have a lot of reprints, many beautiful reprints in regards to this chapter in Revelation. In Revelation 27 through 10, it speaks that after that, he will be let out, and he will go again to do what? He will go out to deceive the nation, the nations. It's extremely important to see that even after 1,000 years, Satan comes with the same deception, maybe in different colors, that he came to Mother Eve. And he will be successful to deceive some of the mankind. You would think that after 1,000 years of blessings and knowing God and the Lord, nobody will be deceived. But you would think that Eve, having all that perfection in the Garden of Eden, she would not be deceived. But if, so this means that the great adversary, and one of his name is the great deceiver. Why? Because he has those tool bags and he knows the human frame. And he's going to deceive some that are not clinging to the Heavenly Father. So let us look at some of the points that Apostle Paul and the Bible tells us in regards to deceitfulness. And mostly we're going to look at the self-deceit. Because if we do not protect ourselves from self-deceit, it's very, very hard to protect ourselves from other exterior deceits. So Satan works through many agencies. In 1 Timothy 4:1, we read, the Spirit clearly says that in the later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. And here the word, it's similar to the first one that we read in Matthew 24, is from the same root, and it says wandering, leading astray, a deceiver. Don't we see the fact that in the later times that which we believe that we are in, some, who are these some? I think that this some refers to some that were baptized into Christ. I think he's speaking about the brethren, some of the brethren in Christ that are being deceived by spirits and things taught by demons. Therefore, we should be very aware in regards to this aspect. We should not think that once saved, forever saved. That's one of the biggest deceptions that comes in Christianity today. That once saved, forever saved. Once I got baptized, that's it. That's the end of it. And we're going to dig a little bit deeper in this and see that we do have to work our salvation with fear and trembling. So, which, most of us are parents, are fathers. Which of the fathers would allow a deceiver to come into your house? Let's say I have three daughters. Would I allow a deceiver to come into my house? Maybe I think, well, I'm a grown up and I can handle that deceiver. But would I allow that deceiver to stay at my table and really trick my daughters? I don't think so. I don't think we would allow that, right? We're going to try to say, well, that's a deceiver, that's a charlatan, that's a... But God does that with the world and with his church. He allows Satan to try all his tricks. But we know by the Lord's grace, and what a blessing it is, for a purpose, for so many learning lessons in within ourselves, in within our dear ones, so we might learn, I think, what love of God is and what the forgiveness through his blood is and how to really apply that in our lives and in the ones that are close and dear to us. And eventually, he allows that to show mankind, entire mankind, that by themselves, without the help of God, we cannot really govern ourselves. Adam and Eve, without God in the Garden of Eden, they could not govern themselves. And it's an illustration that he came in the dew of the morning or in the, and he was talking with Adam and Eve, our Lord. And the fact that he was not talking with him, it's very interesting, that aspect. We're not going to dwell too much, but they were deceived and Eve was deceived, not when they were talking with God, but when they were wandering through the Garden of Eden, getting closer and closer each day to that tree. So we have to take lessons from this. So we would not allow that. And what is the guarantee that we will not fall away? The only guarantee that we will not fall away if we pay attention to the word of God. And if we stay close to the Lord and to his word, we might be sure that we will not be deceived by the great adversary. We will not dwell, and we are not going to go in how many deceptions are in this world. There are many deceptions in almost all the fields that you are looking, left and right. We will go now in 1 Corinthians 3:18. And this is a first step to avoid the deceitful spirits. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. We remember what our Lord Jesus says in Matthew 11:25. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to the infants. The gift of faith is coming from God and has nothing to do with education, with the place you were born, with your stature. And we all agree that it doesn't matter that if you are tall or short, it matters in the eyes of God if you are a Christian or not. It doesn't matter if you're what color your skin is. It doesn't matter where you're coming from. We agree with that. But somehow, and that was the scene of the Pharisees and the scribes, we trick ourselves that if we are intelligent or if we are wise in the eyes of this world, we understand spiritual things. We know how the Bible ticks, so to speak. We might have the head knowledge, but that has little to do. It has a little, but it has very little to do with the spirituality of someone. And it's a deceitfulness to think, and we deceive ourselves if we think that we are wise and because of our wisdom, we are something in Christ. Because we know so many chapters, so many, not that it doesn't help us, it helps tremendously. And that's one of the blessings of the seventh stage of the church. The fact that the books are open, the sealed are released, we have the present truth. That's one of the blessings. But if that makes us think that we are something, we deceived ourselves. And one very strong proof is if the Bible would have been necessary, absolutely necessary, for the development of the church in all its details, why would God reveal and have it published so late in the gospel age? Therefore, I think that the spirit and the truth that is in the book, in the holy book, in the Bible, and the spirit that's in the Bible is the one that is necessary, or it's over the letter. So the spirit, the fact that we know the gospels, which were transmitted, and they were very little copies, and we believe that many Christians memorize that, is not to go astray. I think we should read the word of God every day. I think we should meditate every day. I think we should spend as much time as we can on it. But if we think that because we are wise and we have the knowledge, we are religious and spiritual, we deceive ourselves. It has to be the latter and the truth. We have to serve God in spirit and truth and worship him. And our Lord says that he's praising God for revealing this to the infants. What does an infant has that a wise man doesn't? What's one of the most characteristics that a wise man does not have? A very intelligent wise man. A babe thinks he's nothing. If you look at the little children, you can take the little children of the richest person on the planet Earth, and you take it in Africa, you put it with those kids, and he plays with those kids. He has absolutely no clue, no power, no pretension that he's anything. I think that's the way we have to approach our Heavenly Father. Not to think that we are something, because we know something. And that's a blessing, and that's actually a responsibility, the fact that the Lord revealed us much, because the one that knows much has to do much, and the one that was given much has to bring much fruit. So I think we should look at this and never forget. If we forget that aspect, we can deceive ourselves. If we think we are something because we know something or because we did something, we deceive ourselves. It's a deception. Not that we should not do, not that we should not strive to be the best we can through God's grace and spirit. Another deception that comes, and I underline it here, we have to go a little bit faster. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. And then you see the scriptures and an aspect that society today, most of them don't even dare to pronounce or read, and they try to exclude, if you know, even some of the Christians, the writing of Apostle Paul. We're not going to go there. They try to stay with the Sermon on the Mount, saying that that's the whole gospel. Because this are very clear statements that the Apostle Paul makes here, that no unrighteous will inherit the kingdom of God. The ones that continue in this, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor those habitually drunk, nor verbal abuser, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. And thanks be to God for this cleansing and washing and the blood of sacrifice that's washing our sins. But he says, do not be deceived. It means that there are times, and there are Christian, maybe friends, people that believe that while they are engaging and continuing and having such a lifestyle, unrighteous lifestyle, they will make it to heaven. They will make it in the Lord's presence. And here he says, the apostle says, do not be deceived. If we do not change our ways, if we are not being cleansed, if not we are not being washed and sanctified in the name of our Lord, those will not inherit the kingdom of God in this life or in the future millennial kingdom. So that's one of the deceptions that are coming. This is another one that I think it's extremely important. It's in the chapter of resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15:33. And Apostle Paul says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Where is the deception in this? If I know that $100 bill, I know it really, really right, I cannot be deceived. But if I think that it is $100 bill, and now you see they have those markers and they have the UV lights and everything because they are getting more and more specialized in, and some are saying it's up to 20% of the US dollars that are circulating around the world, not in the United States, but around the world, are fake. I don't know if the number is right or wrong, but with so much printing money, you might be sure that some are taking advantage of that. Regardless of that, you are deceived when you think you are not deceived. So it's really, really important to have a certain standard. And this refers mostly to the young people, I would say, or the young in Christ. Many think that I'm so strong, I'm with Christ, Christ is on my side, you know, I'm gonna meet with these friends, and I'm gonna still be religious and spiritual. Well, I'm gonna listen to this thing on TV, but I'm gonna discern what's happening, and you know, I can stay for a couple hours every day and figure out what is right, what is wrong. I'm not gonna be deceived. Well, Apostle Paul does not agree with that. And he's inspired by the Holy Spirit. Bad company corrupts good morals. We have an example in the Bible, and we'll go Lot. Remember Lot and his family? He's in Sodom and Gomorrah. He chose the plenty, the green valley. And didn't that company corrupted pretty much his family as much as possible? And we know the events. In one way or another, that the social aspects, they really go through your DNA, and it tends to corrupt. And the Bible speaks about him that this righteous man, Lot, he was vexing his soul every day. Do you feel sometimes when you go at work or when you're in company of people that you are with that they either speak or they drop so bad words, or they are talking in such a way, or they behave in such a way that it really vexes your soul? You feel that, well, I have to do this because I have to earn my daily living. I have to earn my bread for me, for my family. But it's extremely important, if we feel that in our hearts it vexes and vexes our soul, to try to step away from those companies. Now, we are not saying that you should meet only with the holy ones or the saints or the brethren and so on, because Jesus was a friend of sinners. The Bible clearly speaks. But where is that line? I think the line is, and we have to be friends of sinners, and we have to look for those in distress, but in the aspect of trying to pull them towards Christ, towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we feel that we are losing that battle, it's like that the camp, they do the tag war or whatever, when they pull that rope, what's the name? I don't even know when.
Tug of war.
Okay. So when they do that, I think that's it's a great, at least for me, it's a great illustration. And I heard it at someone and it makes sense. If I'm fighting and my friends are on that side, and I feel, let's say the worldly friends, and I feel they are pulling me there towards their side, and I'm trying to resist and they are pulling me, and I see that, okay, today it's a little bit of this, tomorrow it's a little bit of that, I should let that rope go and run the other way. If I feel I pull them towards Christ, if I feel I can talk more and more from the Bible, I can talk more and more about what it means to be a child of God, I should strive to keep that company. But if I feel that they are pulling me towards the world, I think that what Apostle Paul says here, it really comes true in my life. Bad company corrupts good morals. And I think that's so true. And I did experience that. And I did experience that the fact that you think you're strong, and in fact, you're not strong only as long as you stay in the Lord. I'm double checking my time because sometimes even the clock doesn't show the right time. There's an old saying, have here, birds of a feather flock together. And that's so true. It is so true. And even, and we will not go into details, but you see even, and again, I'm talking more about the younger people and seeing international conventions and seminars, even among the young people, some, and it's not exclusive to young people, it's to everyone, because these deceptions come to everyone. Some gather and they talk, you can hear them talking about cars, others about phones, others are looking, even from my previous experience, about the discourses or talks or the Great Pyramid. And you see that the birds of a feather flock together. Even within our fellowship, you can see that. So it's extremely important to make sure that we are all striving to have a really good company and all gather at the feet of Jesus and around. And if you're talking about it's normal to talk about our daily activities and daily life, but through the lenses of how Christ and our Lord works through that and how he can help us, I think will be a lot better and a lot easier not to deceive ourselves. Because we might think, I'm going to an international convention, I'm spending time with the children of the brethren, I'm spiritual, it must be spiritual. Well, if I talk all day about cars or climbing or prices in Europe versus prices in the United States, or where it's cheaper to build a house or a career, I don't think I'm spiritual. It doesn't mean it's sinful. It does not mean that it's sinful. It doesn't not mean that it's not better than go and spend time in other sinful places. But it doesn't mean that we are spiritual. We are in Christ. And the deceit is this one, to make sure the adversary tries to make sure that we are not in Christ. We are not developing spiritually. So do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Galatians 6:3, and here it's a different word. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Now this is a quite strong word. I'm not going to try to pronounce it in Greek. You can see on the screen that properly is to act from a distorted perspective, which redefines reality, to fit one's self-deception. Means to become the victim of one owns confused mindset, which then blames God for it, or makes other the scapegoat. The mindset is detached from reality and leaves someone in their own fantasy world. So I deceive myself, and this is a simple example. I think I am something. And today, if you look in the old social media, most of the pictures are everyone is happy, everyone is successful, everyone is just glamorous. And, you know, the ones that are in their 50s look like 30s. The ones that are in their 60s look like 40s. Everybody's just glamorous and everything is beautiful. It's a very strong self-deception. It's not that it creates a lot of unhappiness within yourself in a longer or shorter run, in the others that are your friends, because they see you, oh, you're traveling the world and they are not, oh, they you're successful and they're not. But the biggest problem here, we're not talking and we're not trying to solve the world's problems. It's if we fall into these temptations, if I personally go into that temptation and I have a distorted perspective of myself, which redefines my reality. The reality is I'm a sinful man for which Jesus Christ has died. The reality is I am a blessed Son of God, and he pours his spirit and he seals me in order to praise his holy name. Now, the outward appearance and anything else, it doesn't really matter. I am not something. Now, I'll go a little bit deeper. And I say this with all the humility. We might think that we are something, and I'm referring to myself. Oh, I'm going to Romania and the brethren. No, I'm Brother Christy. I think I'm something. Oh, the brethren, you know, I've been for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years baptized. And, you know, brethren, you know, should respect that. It is a blessing to be in the narrow way as long as we've been, and we are blessed. But at the same time, I think that the true servant of God feels humbled that God is still dealing with us after so many years, and after seeing the frailty of our human flesh. And we should not think that we are something because of that. Remember, our Lord tells a parable, and we will not go into there. Oh, we are not, we've been working for 12 hours here. They've been working for 1 hour. We are not equal with those. How can you make us equal with the ones that worked 1 hour? See, they thought they are something more than the other ones. And the Lord says, that's not your job to see who's worth it what. It is my job. So here, that's one of the deceptions. Because we've been with the Lord, maybe from our parents or grandparents or great-grandparents, we think that we are something. When he is nothing, we are nothing through our own standing. Only through Christ we are something. He deceiveth himself. There's no question here. Apostle Paul, in all these remarks, is not putting the question mark. He's saying how we deceive ourselves. So I think it's important to remember that, as he says in 1 Corinthians 13, love does not puff it up. Our time is flying fast. We still have a few things to look at. This is a good one, and he says, and we know it, Galatians 6, 7 through 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh, or of the flesh, reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. It's true that Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So yes, eternal life is the gift of God. But just like Satan tried to deceive Jesus in the wilderness, quoting us only a scripture, right? Jump from the temple and the angels will protect you. Our Lord Jesus came and says, no, we have to read the Bible in entirety, the Word of God. And he says, do not tempt your Heavenly Father. Do not tempt God, right? In the same way, some quote Romans 6:23, and they say, most of the Christian, that the gift of God is eternal life. And that's it. Doesn't matter how I live, doesn't matter what I do. As long as I say, Jesus, you're my Lord, I testify with my mouth, I got baptized in the water, I'm going to make it to heaven. But here we have to read the Word of God in its entirety. Here in Galatians 6, 7, 8, and 8, we are told that he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. How do we sow to the Spirit? How do we sow to the flesh? Well, sometimes we might be tempted, and this is one of the temptation on the sinfulness. Well, nobody is watching. Nobody knows what you are doing right now. So, you can do that. You can do that. Nobody sees that. Nobody knows what you're reading. Nobody knows how you spend your time. So, don't worry. Well, we deceive ourselves. First, that God sees everything, but we say, well, because nobody around my fellowship knows what we are doing, I'm okay with doing that. And then at the end of the day, I'll ask God for forgiveness and I'll move on. Be not deceived. Every thought and every action that we sow, we will reap out of it. It's like a garden, and I'm not an expert in gardening. My wife, in the last 3-4 years, she started planting some things, and we are amazed how God is blessing even a little work with his goodness. Does it matter if in the spring my neighbor sees me what kind of seeds I put in my backyard? If it's tomatoes, if there are some potatoes, does it matter if it's weeds? I put them weeds. It doesn't matter. My neighbor would not know what I saw there. It doesn't matter what I do when I plant my seeds. Now at the harvest, everyone will see what I harvest. Will take some time, but at the harvest time, every single one will see what I harvest. If I have big tomatoes and I share with my neighbors and with the brethren, like we have some extremely generous brethren, they'll know what seeds I planted. Now, if I have weeds, they'll know, well, he was deceived in planting something, or he planted. I think it's the same thing with spiritual things. If every time we plant a spirit, how do we plant? Because I was thinking, how do we plant for the Spirit? I think the Holy Spirit, he gives us every single day, read a little bit from the Bible, read your manna, think about some good things, all things that are good, pure, perfect. Go help that brother or sister. Call that brother. We sow to the Spirit. Whenever we're thinking, okay, how can I get my house better? How can I get my job better? How can I make more money? How can I arrange these things for myself? It's usually selfishness. And some translations, this scripture, it can go in itself. And there are, and Brother Russell has quite a few reprints, wonderful reprints on this Galatians 6, 7, and 8, that really shows that it's actually sowing to self. Versus sowing towards Christ and actually going a step forward, being sacrificed in the work of the harvest, sacrificing yourself and your interest in the work of the harvest. So the fruit is visible, the seed in the beginning is not visible, and even the seed that is sown brings fruit 30, 60, 100. And we should strive to be among those ones that bring forth much fruit. James 1, 22 through 25. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not just hearers who deceive themselves. We see, we might think that knowing the word of God and hearing the word of God, we are spiritual, but if we don't go further to become doers of the word, we deceive ourselves. And I'll paraphrase here. It's like a man that looks in a mirror and forgets how it is, how its face looked. If we wake up in the morning and we are supposed to go to our work and we see that we have some breakfast parts left on the face, what do we do? Do we say, okay, don't worry about it. You turn around, you forget about it, and you go to work. We don't. We stop everything that we do, even if it makes us run late, to clean that part of our face. I think it's the same thing in our spiritual lives. Because here it says, if you do not do what you hear, you just forgot what you hear. So Apostle Paul is advising us to be doers of the word and not just hearers of the word. And our Lord speaks about the ones that hear versus the ones that do exactly at the end of his Sermon on the Mount. When his conclusion is, if you hear these things, you're like a man that builds a house, but it's on sand. And it's the beautiful Matthew 5, 6, 7. And his conclusion is, but if you do them, it's like the one that builds the house on a rock. It will stand. So it's not that you're not building. It's that on which foundation, on Jesus Christ, you're building. And to build it so it withstands the storm. In 1 John 3:18, we have the scripture, little children, let's not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth. Very powerful scripture, not just speaking, but also doing. James 1:26 through 27, it speaks about to us about deceiving our own heart if we cannot bridle the tongue. And here it says that this person religious is worthless. That's one of the great indicators if someone is religious. That means spiritual. If we have all the knowledge and everything, and we have all the faith, but we cannot bridle our tongue. You can bridle our tongue only from the love and from agape love. It's an indicator that that's, that person religious or spirituality is worthless. And how many times we can see that we cannot bridle our tongue. We will skip a few scriptures here that are well known, because we want to analyze and look at 1 John 1:8. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. This is a little bit different than the scriptures, I think, that follow, that if we said that we have not sinned. Here is that we have no sin. And I looked quite a bit in the Greek, and I read some articles. And I think that the thought here is different in regards that we do say that we are sinful and sinners. But if we have a confrontation with someone, or if we have a dispute with someone, and we say, well, in that part, I was not wrong with anything. Now, they were wrong. They were on the wrong side, and I was not wrong. We are deceiving ourselves. Why? Because as long as we are in a human frame, we might unconsciously make mistakes. We might say, I might have expressed something the wrong way. I might have misspoken my thoughts. I did not intend it to hurt or upset anyone. But to come out of a confrontation thinking that we have no sin, we have no mistake, it's a deceitfulness that comes from the great adversary, I think. We should look carefully, we should re-examine through the word of God, and we should allow the fact that even if we think we have no sin, sinfulness is in our nature. So in conclusion, by the Lord's grace and through his Spirit is the only way we can protect ourselves from this deceitfulness of ourselves and that comes from the adversary. This deceitfulness, some of the ways that it comes are through different deceiving spirits and teachings, through the pride of being wise, through the fact that we think, or we might think, that unrighteousness will inherit the kingdom of God when it is clear that they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Bad company corrupts good morals. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that he shall reap. Doers, not just hearers who deceive themselves. We have to be doers. We have to bridle our tongue and not to deceive our heart. And if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves. May the Heavenly Father help us to watch and pray and give us his spirit to more and more, not to be deceived by a great adversary that we have. But how wonderful is that we have a greater Heavenly Father and the greater Lord, that he has all the power in heaven and earth, and he is on our side. God's name be praised, and may he forgive anything said or done amiss.